every Mother's Day you can't find a reservation in for you know going out to eat, and but on Father's Day there's lots of room, and so you can go and eat anywhere you want today for Father's Day. Because it's Father's Day, I want to offer two scriptures, and then I'm going to talk about being a dad. If you go to Ephesians chapter 6, 1 to 4, and then we want to go to Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 27. And I want to remind you of the Gospel of Luke 15:32. And I want to read those scriptures, if I could, at least some of them, a couple of, it's a lot of scripture, at least these first three scriptures. It says here in Ephesians 6, 1 to 4, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father," and it says, "and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Luke, this is a promise, if you'll do this, "that it may be well with you." You know, when you're sick, when you're having a lot of mental health issues, it's not a well days. Having turmoil in your life, it says that it may be well with you, that you may live long on earth. Those two outstanding promises we find in the New Testament, that if we would all honor our dads, things will go well with us. We all want well lives. We want to have a life, you know, that is, you know, a remarkable life. Everybody wants to have a good life. Amen. And that we may live long. Like some people live, you know, fairly long. The Bible speaks about that, you know, everybody will have at least 70, 80 years, naturally speaking, unless you get run over by a truck or something, or something, you catch a disease from being on the road so much. But the scripture does say that long life is promised to everybody. I've been to lots of funerals this year, a lot of funerals, and there's a lot of young people dying. Yeah, lots of young people in their middle age, young 20s. We have an epidemic of disease, mental health situations going on. But I think the answer is right over here, is that when we honor, we obey. Number one is obey our parents. If you got one parent, you obey your dad or your mother, or you obey both of them. And then you honor your father and mother. There's two things that honor. And I want to kind of, you know, honoring your children, obey your parents. You know, there's kind of two things about that, and that is that sometimes, you know, when dads can be very hard on children, or parents can be very hard, difficult on children. Maybe they don't have the skills, and they use their verbiage in the wrong way, and they hurt their kids emotionally, or they physically assault their children. If they're taking, you know, if they minister corporal punishment, then there's injury going on there, and there's lots of hurt because you've been injured. And there's that kind of side of it as well. And today we live in a different world when it comes to being a dad. You know, I remember one day, I think my child was in grade 6 or 7 or 8, somewhere on there, came home and said, "Dad, you cannot spank me." He said, "Because the law says if you spank me, I could take you to court." So So she's learning some things, you know. So we had a discussion about it. We decided we'll do different things. We've always, you know, when the children were small, we had a little, you know, a little ruler or something, you know, tap them on the pamper or something. We never really did have to spank our kids like that. But we did show the stick. If it was, you know, I think they imagined they got beat or something, but we never really used that. You know, it was amazing with our two girls when we were, one of my daughters, she was the younger one, she liked to negotiate. But she always did it on her terms, and so she would say, we would allow our children to go to dances, you know, like high school dances or school dances like that, and we said, no, you can't, we don't want you to go to those dances, you know, and what goes on in those places. And so one day, I think it was grade 8 or something, it was the last school dance of the year. It was over at the rec center down here. So I came home just before around supper time, and there was a note there on my desk, and it says, "Dear Dad, well, I know you didn't want me to go to the dance, but I'm going. And we can talk about the punishment later, Natasha." And so she was very much like that, and so we was able to. It was so hilarious because she was like, she's straight out like that. That's how she is today. She's just straight out. She'll tell you stuff. And I think more, she must be more like me than her mother in that way. But she's very soft as well. She takes that from her mom. But, you know, we parent our children in a way, I think, the way we've learned from our parents ourselves. And that's the only way you learn. We've never went to school, you know. I didn't take any classes on how to be a dad. Everybody learned from their parents. We learned from family what happens. But honoring your dad, you know, like time has passed. We're all older. And I don't know if you ever heard the song Cats in the Cradle. How many of you ever heard the song Cats in the Cradle? Let me see your hands. If you heard the song Cats in the Cradle. Well, the Cats in the Cradle song is a song about a man who went through life, never spent time with his children. And he'd always promised, a child would say, you know, I'll get the ball, let's go play ball. I don't have time right now, but, you know, I'll be there. When I get home next weekend, he's always promising that he's going to be with the child. And when the only time when he got older in his teens, all the child wanted was, "Dad, just give me the keys. I'll see you later. Aren't you going to stay home for, you know?" And the child would just take the car and go. And the child went away to college. And he got married, and he got so busy that he couldn't spend time. The dad was wondering, you know, how come they don't come visit anymore? And so the thing about it is that at the end of the life there, the song goes at the end of the time that he realized that he raised up exactly who he was. You know, he became just like his dad. So that the child didn't have time for the dad. And I think very much so, the picture is, you know, we could spend all our time at the office or fishing or golfing, but we don't have time for our children. And maybe that's what's wrong with our society. We don't have enough time for each other. We're all doing things, making money and whatever we're doing, projects. But we need to spend time together. Dads, you need to take time with your children. I always tell Pastor Ken, you know, those guys, I said, you know, just your kids are not going to be around very long, and your role will change. At a certain time in your life, when the kids, I remember both of my girls, when they went to school, you know, you'd hold their hand or you hug them, and they're, well, after a certain age, they don't want that. "Dad, don't kiss me anymore," you know? And then you get your feelings hurt. I don't know if any dads ever had that. You got your feelings hurt because they don't want you. "Don't come to the school, Dad. We don't want you around here. Why do you come here?" I think, you know, they get shy, you know, and I remember the same feeling I had with my parents. And they grow up so quickly, and we don't, you know, time flies. And I told Pastor Ken, listen, you know, that young man is going to be there for just a certain time, and they want your input. At a certain time in life, you don't get to be that kind of same dad as they were when they're 10 or when they're 14. When you get older, they want your opinion if they want it. And so that happens. But anyways, it should come back to a certain level afterwards in the normal scheme of things, in that they want your advice. They want your time. That never goes away. I know my children always ask me for advice on different things. You know, they want to know about what Scripture says. And so it's important that we're the dads. Perhaps you never had a dad like that. There's a problem with estranged dads and sons. And maybe you're in a strained relationship where you don't have a relationship with your children or your son. And there's anger there. Lots of hurt. We don't live in a perfect environment where there's one dad, one mom. You got together when you're 20 or 19. You got married. You had children. And you had lived happily ever after. And you never had any problems. But today we have all kinds of families. We have moms and dads that get married that never had the upbringing that we all think they should have or want them to have. And so we come to relationships where we didn't have maybe a healthy home environment. And so we become dysfunctional in so many ways. But thank God, you know, if we didn't have that, we still have the Scriptures. We still have God. We still have Jesus. We still have people who walk the life of in the Spirit and become the parent that maybe we never had or we wanted to be. So we need to be what we should be. I remember when I was thinking about having a relationship, you know, my pastor told me, you know, Roma, you should be the man, be the kind of man that when this woman comes along, you're going to be that person. Start being honest. Start living right. Don't go sleeping around. Don't go looking for women and cruising around Friday night. Don't do all that stuff. Don't drink and, you know, don't tell lies and don't abuse people. Just be the kind of man that when God sends that woman, you're ready. And so that kind of fathering come from my pastor. I was able to get that advice because I didn't have that kind of relationship with my own dad. My dad never talked to me, never sat down with me one time. And you know, I don't blame him. I'm not mad at him. I just, that's the way it was. My dad was in that kind of a, for some reason, my dad never really talked to me. He spent most of his time as a hunter-trapper and only saw my dad very seldom when he came home from the bush. And he made his living by a traditional lifestyle. When I said traditional lifestyle, I mean hunting, trapping, fishing. That's what I mean. And he lived that way. And for me, I was always ashamed of my dad because he didn't drive a truck. He didn't go work in the mill. He didn't have the kind of things that other men had. But today I respect my dad because that's, you know, the man lived a life, like it's an amazing life he lived. And I wish I had his skills, and he lived to be in his early 80s. I always, whenever I had trouble in my life, I always think about my father because I said, you know, man, if he survived without ever reading a book, without ever understanding things, man, I can do a whole lot more because I can understand things. When my mom would send him to a store to buy stuff, go buy some sugar, he'd come back with salt. You know, or he'd buy something because he couldn't read. He would just figure things out. And there was always that fight between my mom and dad because he couldn't speak English. So he always told me, you better go to school. So he was a big encourager for me to go to school. And my grandparents and our family were traditional. And we lived off the land like that. And so my mom and my grandparents, all our family was like just homogeneous. Like we lived together in a community. And everybody was, we shared food and we shared different things. My grandmother always said, whenever an old elderly person come in, you stand up. We don't have that today. I don't know if anybody ever remember that. An elder come in, you stand up. And in my home, we did that. An elder person come in, you stand up till that person comes in and finds whatever room they want to sit in. You sit down. And there was that kind of honor for the elderly people. And somehow we've lost that. You know, at least in my culture. I don't know what your other cultures do, but that's the way we were brought up in that way. We honored the elderly people. You're not supposed to make fun of them and tease them, make jokes about them. Because if you did, you're scared. They tell you that a bear will eat you. Well, you don't want no bear eating you, or having you for a snack, you know. You're picking blueberries, and all of a sudden you saw a bear. Did I hurt anybody? Did I say anything about Granny? Let's get out of here. That bear looks ugly. But, honoring your dad, the scripture talks about honor. And what is honor? Honor, if you look at honor in the Bible, in the New Testament, Old Testament, honor has to do with giving people monetary gifts. Amen. You look at that in the scripture, and people brought, when Jesus was honored, they brought gold and frankincense and stuff like that. And you notice that honor, you're honoring somebody, you're gonna bless them that way. But honor, the word I'm looking for here, is that when we genuinely appreciate somebody, we genuinely esteem and value someone. That's the honor that we're talking about, honoring our parents, honoring our dads. And we value them for what they are, and what they are to us, what they were to us. And I think about my parents, and I think about my dad particularly today. I know my dad was very, very proud of me, what I've accomplished in school and what happened in my own life and how, I came out of the situation that I came out of. And he never did tell me, son, I honor you. I respect that. I love you. And I'm very proud of you. It always came through somebody else. It always came through a teacher or somebody else that, your dad really is really proud of you and stuff like that. So I always got that from somebody somewhere. But my dad never did. For some reason, he never talked to me that way. And for many years, I was mad at my parents and mad at my dad because of the way he was when I was a young man, because he drank a lot. But I looked at his life. He had a tough life. And the change in his whole lifestyle, there's a lot of change in our culture during that time. A lot of shifting going on. And I see what he tried to address it by, accepting the way things are and what school was and what it meant to us. So he encouraged me in that way. So, honoring our fathers, we want to value them. The Bible says we need to honor our dads. It didn't say if they were good to you or whatever, but you still have to honor your father. Like maybe it's been a strained relationship there, but still we need to honor dads. If you don't have a dad, if you had a dad that is a horrible relationship, we need to understand what happened, because people don't become mixed up or people become who they are because of what happened to them. Never got solved. Something never got solved. Something's broken in their lives. So we have to appreciate that. And a lot of us that had relationships, that had You know, growing up, I didn't understand about certain things about manhood and how to be a man. I had to find out, read books and read psychology books and look at different things. And a lot of the things we learn, and I don't know about you, but we learn things from watching TV. And American Dad is not a good place to watch being how to be a dad. some of those funny sitcom shows about dads. And they certainly make dads like they're stupid in those shows. And we need to have a reality check on what dad's supposed to be, what they should be to us, and give them the respect the way God said to give the respect. Amen. That's a commandment. The Bible says that's a commandment. The Tenth Commandment says that. And then even over here in the New Testament, it says we need to honor, obey our dads. Sometimes we have difference in opinions. Some of you, the younger adults, you know, we might you don't see everything. If you're a young man or woman, you might not see everything. But your dad sees things, and his foresight is pretty good. Experience teaches you that if you don't do certain things or you don't clean your room. That, because that has consequences. It's not about that room right there. Yes, it's about that room there at that time, but it has other consequences. Do I have to tell everybody to clean their room this morning? How many of you made your beds? I tell my mother, I have to talk to my wife as my mother. My wife, I said to her, let's make this bed, you know. So I have to make it perfect. But I told her, go away, I got to make this bed. I said, if you don't do it, the nuns will come by and check it. So I still have that on me, you know. How many of you remember that? Anybody remember that? Yeah, you have to make it all over again, the nuns come back. No, that's wrong. Pull it all apart, put it back again together. So I'm still having flashes about having to fix my bed, and the brothers would come by and examine your bed. But I have to make my bed every morning. So making your bed every morning as a child, respecting and honoring your father and mother, that's important because that says a lot about where you're going in life. You have to start with the basics. Put your socks away. Don't leave your clothes everywhere. Take your underclothes from the bathroom. Put them in the over here somewhere, where in your room where you could basket somewhere, or burn them or something. You know, their socks are so dirty they don't come clean anymore. Not recognizable anymore. So, I want to look at that third verse as well. You know, I mean, everything will go well with you, and you live long. You live long, and so we had our children remember these scriptures. I said, Natasha, what does Ephesians 6:2 says? He said, obey your parents and your mother. Well, she quoted that, misquoted that, but she always talks about her mom. Obey your parents, but verse 3 says, you fathers, this is Father's Day. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the way we do that is so important as dads, what we do, how we bring our children up. Somebody said, and I read this so many times before, the best thing you can do for your children is to love your wife. The best thing you can do for your child is to love your mom or the mom. Treat your mom. If your dad, don't talk to your own parents like they were, you know, I don't find a great word for this, but you must honor your own parents in front of your kids. I always tell my kids, you know, go visit grandma, go visit your grandma, your mom, or your grandfather, because they're not going to be here very long. Go and see them, talk to them, ask them questions about the good old days. How to make bannock and stuff. Whatever you want. How to snare a rabbit, because the end of the world is coming. You might need to snare a rabbit, make a fire or something. I mean, learn something. Something from them. So my daughter went one day and made bulla with Mumu. So she learned how to make pula. And some of you, it's a Finnish bread. It's bannock in Finn. And so some of you guys don't understand. But you do something like that. You know, spend time. I used to, before my dad never talked to me. He wouldn't talk to me very much. So I'd go to his house, go visit him. And I'd sit around with my dad, and he'd just look out the window, and I sat with him. I look out the window with him. I heard a story of a man went to talk to an old elder at in a reserve, and they said, elders, you know, you sit with them, and they won't talk to you for hours. You want to hear a story, you have to sit with them. You don't ask questions, just sit down until they start talking to you. So that guy sitting there for days looking out the window. But he's getting per diem. He's getting paid for it from the van office or the office where he is. But I would sit with my dad and just to be there with him, and I knew he didn't talk much. And I didn't push my dad. I didn't push him and said, Dad, you know, I'm a man now. I want to talk to you. Let's talk about our feelings. He would say to me in his language, he said, are you in your right mind? He'd tell me that in our language, you know. But we never talked about stuff. We talked about different things, funny things about life, just simple things. I know my dad is older, and I know there's been lots of mistakes. He had lots of heartaches about his mistakes. I didn't want to remind him about the bad days that we had. But I wanted to be the son that came around, that show him about forgiveness. And let's forget about the past, and we're living in the now. Let's enjoy the now. Because the day there's going to be a day when you're gone. My dad died one Sunday morning, one Friday night. We went to, we took the kids, the youth pastors, and us went to the skating rink here. They had the kids out Friday night. So I went home and just sat down. I was going to relax, and some of the police officer called me and said, you know, you better come over. Your dad has passed away. So I kind of knew my dad was going to pass because he'd been eating a lot of sugar, and he was told not to eat a lot of sugar. He got diabetes because he sat around a lot, and he hurt his leg. And he would not walk around after a number of years. And the doctor said, you better start walking. He gained weight. And so he passed. And I told Dad, you know, before, I said, why are you eating all these pies? And, you know, you got orange crush in here. You got lemon pie. Like, you got cookies over here and Coke everywhere. You shouldn't be eating this stuff. He said, you know. So it's fine. Well, he's addicted to junk food. That's what happened. So, well, he passed away. He was 3 days gone by the time they found him. And I would always call him and said, Dad, let's go to the res. Come on, and we'll get some gas. Let's go have some coffee. He said, no, I don't want to go. So I would go visit him sometimes. But, you know, when he passed away, I wasn't heartbroken, falling apart, because I did what I had to do with my father. Amen. In his last days. I went to visit him regularly, phone him regularly, ask him how he's doing. Ask him if he needed anything, and just take him around whatever he needed. So, you know, Luke, you're not going to have your dad forever. One of these days, you know, he's going to be gone from you. You won't always be there. But, you know, you can be your dad taught you a lot. I know your dad taught you a lot. He taught you how to cut grass. I saw out there last night. He's going to have to learn how to cut more grass. So, it's not going to be forever. Like our dads, they come and go. We have to be able to honor our dads at a time, you know, when we need to. And, you know, I wanted to, I had a chance to become a dad with my children, my own children, my two girls. And I wanted to be the dad that I thought that I didn't have. And yet, when I tried that, they didn't want that kind of dad. I thought, hey, I'm going to be this dad that, you know, I'm going to sit down and talk with them, listen to them, you know, and, you know. But I try to, sometimes we try to be too much of a buddy to our children. Yeah. when they need to be, when we need to be the dad, we have to have that balance in our lives. We have to be the disciplinarian, and we have to be straight with our children, and we want to be friends with them. Sometimes we're too friendly with them. And I know that sometimes, maybe particularly moms and dad and daughters, sometimes they get too close together. You become more of a friend instead of a mother and daughter relationship. And that's become strained on the child. And the child doesn't need you to be a chum. They need you to be, you know, the mom sometimes. Sometimes they become the mom to you. You know, we don't go to them for with our trouble. So we need to have that relationship, a balanced relationship, and the scriptures can help us with that. So it tells us to fathers to nurture our children. The scripture here in verse 3 of Ephesians, that we shouldn't become the irritant in our child's life that pushes them out to a degree that we really put strain on our child. We need to understand that one of the best things for dads to understand is that children go through phases in development. The children need you for certain things at different phases in their lives. And so right now I'm a coach to my children. They're still my children, but I come in as a coach. And that's the way they see it sometimes. We don't call it that, but sometimes they say, "Dad, you know, listen, you know, I want to make this decision myself over here." "Yeah, but I'm paying for it." You know, you're paying for it, but you're still like you're out kind of looking in. You know, so there's a particular verse of scripture that I want to talk about the lunatic son. So all your dads, I think you can relate to this, the lunatic son. There's a story here where Jesus came to his disciples, and you know, Jesus sent his disciples out to heal sick people. The scripture says that Jesus sent his 12 disciples out, then he sent the 70 out. And when the time he sent his 12 disciples out to heal the sick, there was a situation in which the disciples could not heal a child. That's over in Mark chapter 9. And this was kind of confusing for me for a long time, that why these disciples could not heal this lunatic child. And so can you imagine over in Mark chapter 9, there's about a number of scriptures there that I wanted to read. But when he came to his disciples, it says here, Mark chapter 9, verse 14. He saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed. Running to him and saluted them, he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" One of the multitudes answered, said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. And whenever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, and he gnashed with his teeth and pined away, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. They could not." And why could they not cast the spirit out of this person when Jesus already gave them the commission to cast all devils out? And sometimes we come to a place in our own lives as dads, you know, we're baffled by situations in our own children's lives. Naturally, you know, the answers are not there right away. How to help our kids. You know, you have to be able to dig in as a dad in the scriptures and find help for your child. This guy, they all came to Jesus. And everybody else failed him. Sometimes there's going to be a thing in your life where no one has an answer except you're going to go to Jesus and he's going to give you an answer of how to help a situation in a natural situation in your life. So this man says, "I brought him to your disciples. I brought him to your disciples. I brought my son to your disciples. but they could not cast the spirit out of my son. What is wrong with the situation? These people were supposed to help this person, but they could not. So Jesus was came in there. He answered and said, "Oh, faithless generation." We know right from there, there's something to do with faith. "How long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him. And when he saw them, he straightway the spirit tear him, fell on the ground, wallowed and foaming. He asked the Father, "How long ago since this came unto him?" And he said, the Father said, of a child, oftentimes cast him into the fire and to the waters to destroy him, but if thou can't do anything, have compassion on us and help us." So this was a long situation. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes." We've been talking about last couple of Sundays how to believe God. And sometimes as a dad, the best thing you can do for your child is learn how to believe God for your children. Learn how to believe God for your son, your daughter. So the dad, we have to become spiritually minded. When education fails and when the finances fail and when their relationships fail, different things fail in their lives, we have to be so narrowed in with God that we know what to do, how to respond to a situation. And so, sometimes the kids don't want you to intervene as your father, but they sometimes don't want your help. But still, we still have something to say. We don't have to tell them, but we can still intervene. And Jesus said to them, "If you can believe, all things are possible." So Jesus said, you know, the best thing we can do is to believe the best for our children. The Bible says love believes the best of everybody. Maybe your child hates you right now. Maybe your son hates you right now. But you can believe the best of everybody. Love believes all things. Love is the best weapon that we can employ. Maybe you're not going to get that card today. Maybe you're not going to get that phone call. Maybe you're not going to get that text message that you're waiting for. Listen, don't worry about it. You know, just do your best. Believe God and say, you know, okay, I'm gonna just be the dad that I should be here, and I'm gonna hang on and have my relationship with God. And when the time comes, everything's gonna turn out good. Here's what happened. And straightway the father of the child cried out. The father of the child cried out. How many dads are crying out right now that their drug addicted children, the mom and dad, you know, crying out that they're out there somewhere? You drive down the street, you see your son on the street coming out of the drug house, and you see them happening. What can you do? You feel like taking a gun and going to that house and blowing everybody up. That's how you feel. That's how you feel. I saw a story over in Saskatchewan. I don't know if Saskatchewan people are like this. The dad went over and killed the person who was giving drugs to the daughter. This was about maybe 5 years ago. Went to court, and the guy who was giving the daughter, a young girl, drugs, got her on drugs, and he was so mad, he went over and killed a pusher or whatever. I think it was a boyfriend pusher or something. And that's how you feel. Many of us have had that situation happen to us. But you know what? If we're spiritually minded, you recognize this, it's not the pusher, it's the devils that are working behind the scene. Amen. We have to be able to bind up those spirits that's coming against us, trying to destroy us. They're coming to kill, steal, destroy. We need to get behind that spirit that's operating behind that person and bind up that spirit and look at it from the spiritual side. He said that the father child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." This is where we are a lot of times. We're having a hard time believing as dads that things are going to change. In our hearts, we have a belief, but in our heads are giving us lots of trouble. See, you can believe, but you can believe in your heart, but you can have so much doubt in your head. And if you're so carnally minded, the head will take over the heart. And you get defeated. So when your mind is unrenewed, it takes over your spirit, that's when things get really tough. That's why the Bible says, believe with all your heart, not your head. So here's the dad's having trouble. He's believing in his heart, but his mind is giving him a hard time. I don't know if you've ever been there. You said you believe, but now you're having a hard time. You're having a battle in your mind. How can this ever be solved? Who can solve this situation? How can I ever get over this? I'll die, whatever people say. So we need to believe. So when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the false spirit, the Bible says there, and saying, "The dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, enter no more into him." And the spirit cried, rent him sore, and came out of him as one was dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. This is what we want to see. We want to see our situations arise to a new day, a new level of believing. But we want to be like the guy, every dad wants to be like the prodigal son. Remember the story about the prodigal son over here in the, I wanted to get the last scripture here. Luke 15, verse 11 to 32, there's a story there about the prodigal son. And then there was a story about the two sons. The younger one says, "Dad, give me my inheritance so I can go." So he took the inheritance. He went out and he lived high on the hog for many, I don't know how long, but a long time. He spent all his inheritance drinking and prostitutes and partying and all that stuff. And he found himself on the side of the road with no money, nobody there. When all his money was gone, all his friends disappeared. I don't know if some of you remember if you've ever been on the streets. And when your check is gone, you don't have any more friends. But if you got a check, everybody's going to be there for you. Right? Hey, chum. Right? You got paid. They know you got paid. And so they're all around you. But, you know, and then you have a situation going on here where the kids are fighting because you're treating the one who is not supposed to be treated well. I mean, that guy just, he's spending all your money and you treat him nice. But me, I'm at home all the time with you, cutting grass and doing whatever. And so you have a fight with the family's having a fight because you're the dad. You're supposed to be there, you know, doing the right thing. And yet you're trying to do the right thing, but everybody thinks you're doing the wrong thing. There's only a couple of dads that are saying, nodding to me. But we've been there. But I know that we want to have life in our homes. We want life to be normal. What is normal? There's no normal. Normal is whatever you deem is normal. At least going to church on Sunday is normal. You know, sitting together at home and acting civil and having dinner together is normal. Fighting and having the cops over is not normal. Huh? It's not normal. Spending all your money is not normal. Saving money, not have enough money for sun next day. But here's a couple of things I want to leave with you before we go home. So, dads, we need to become the kind of dads that our children can be trained. We need to train our children. We need to be informed dads. As a dad, I know I want to be responsible for my own home. Take the responsibility of being dad very, very important in your life. Be responsible. Proverbs 22:6 says, train your child. And the way we train our child is not just telling them. You know? No, training your child is being with them every day, loving your wife, treating people nice, living honest. We're training our child. Yeah. They know what works. They see your dad. They see you day in, day out. They see how you operate in your home, how you treat your wife. And that's what they, you know, they're not going to pick some dude. If your daughter has picked some dude, maybe you're a bad dude. I don't know. Maybe they just like bad guys. That could, you know, tough guys. What God said about Abraham, he said, I know Abraham. That's over in Genesis 18:19. He said, I know Abraham. He will command his children, his household after him. They'll keep the way of the Lord, do justice, judgment. And so we see Abraham, God looked at Abraham as a man who is going to be a man in his home. Be a man in his home. Be the guy. Take your role properly. What is your dad? As a Christian husband or father, what is our responsibility over there? You're the one that has to crack open that Bible. Don't wait for your wife to crack open the Bible and ask you to pray at dinner. Pray. Yeah. Amen. Now here I am getting on dad. Sorry, dad. Listen. Don't allow your wife to say, listen, you be quiet, wife. I'm going to pray now. And then you wake up in the hospital. The last thing I remember was talking to him. No, that's not good. So we have to raise up this whole thing about raising children up is a full-time responsibility, right? I know there's dads up here. There's not too many young dads here. They're all old. So, you know, we must, as a parent, we got to take this very, very, very important. Take time to feed your children. Not just, put food in the fridge and on the table, but take time to feed your child's spirit as a dad. Give your child scriptures when they're not expecting it. Not because you want to correct them, but just give them a scripture once in a while. That you might want to learn about this, and you're going through a hard time. I want to show you what the Bible says. I know you're baffled about life, but you know the Bible says God will give you wisdom. I know you're scared, but God says protection is yours. I know you don't have any money, you're struggling, but the Bible says you can believe money. Money will come in. You'll have favor. So that's what I do with my girl. I send her text. She's in Toronto working on her career. I said, you know, the Bible says this. You know, hey, we can believe together. I know I don't have the money right now, but we can believe together. We don't say, I can't afford it. Keep telling each other, I can't afford it. We can't afford it. We can't afford it. Can't afford it. Can't afford it. No, just say, you know, hey, we can believe God. God has the funds. He'll release the funds. So take time to feed your child. The Bible says that we need to bring them up in that way that we could show them that they can really believe for themselves. And then we can teach them how to pray. You know, we have prayer over here, but we teach our child how to pray by praying with them and showing them how to use the scripture. And this is the way we ask God. And so, you know, I hope this is not boring to you. I mean, we're taking some little extra time. Some of you putting on your jackets already. What's going on here? So this is Father's Day. Teach your child how to pray. Maybe that's what's wrong. Like, maybe did you pray with your child? Like, when they were little, we'd pray with them, kneel down with them and pray, or let's confess, let's quote the scripture together. Let's memorize the scripture and quote it over our lives and say this over our situation right now. So let's begin to do that. And you know, the biggest thing that we can do, and then we've done it with our own dads, we watched our dads. We looked at them and watched their lives. Good or bad, what we learned. And you know, thank God, you know, they made the mistake, but we don't have to. You know, I said to myself, I'll never drink alcohol. Some kids did it. They didn't drink alcohol because what they saw. I said, I'm not going to drink alcohol because my dad drank. I'll never be like him. I was like so mad at my dad, and I went over the top. I passed him. I passed him. I went worse than he did. But the greatest thing we can do is our lifestyle is the biggest illustration about what we do at home. Amen. How we are at home. Do we just smoke cigars, chew up people and get mad at people, watch dirty movies all night, and say, praise the Lord. Sunday morning. Eh? Put all the dirty magazines over there. Your neighbors are coming over. You know? So, change the channel right away. So, we need to be able to teach. And, the little ones especially, we have to teach them against carnality. How to live spiritual lives. They don't care about carnality. They want to go to McDonald's. You know? So, also, here's a big one. How to hear God's voice. This is huge. How do we hear God's voice, you know? That man looks good there, daughter. He's handsome, isn't he? He's got washboard abs and everything. But, you know, you don't know what's on the inside of this guy. Not every washboard guy is good. He's going to be clean. We have to teach them about what a man is like. My kids tell me, Dad, you know, it's too high what you're teaching us. You know? You better find a man just like me. That one that loves God. One that loves the Word of God, that loves your mom. And you better find somebody just like that. Bring him home. And I know, and when they bring somebody, some little skinny guy home, that's not him. When I went to my dad, when I brought a girlfriend home, you know, I thought, man, I'm doing good. My dad says, nope, that's not her. What are you doing here? The lady is 29 years old. My dad, Ed's dad was like, where's Ed? Ed's mom was the same way. You better go home. You ask Maxine about that. Hey, Maxine? Our parents was fully involved, engaged. You know, when I finally brought my wife over there, my dad said, that's the one. He said, yeah, that woman you brought over, the woman with the blue eyes, you bring her back over here. So he loved her right away. A different story with her dad with me. He wasn't as spiritual. But you know, I really loved my father-in-law. Man, I just got so close to him. I loved him so much. And we got along so well. Really great parents-in-law, man. We just got so close together. And when my father died, we cried together and talked together. And he was there for me. And so I really appreciate your dad was very good to me. First of all, he didn't trust me. And I know when we got married, he hugged me. And he came over to hug me like this. But that meant so much to my wife. It was a major breakthrough right there. But anyway, I know my kids learned a lot from my granddad. Granddaddy was so good. Every time he went to his room when they were there, he'd go out and pull out some money under his pillow. I knew where it was, too. I never took any. So anyway, I just wanted to share these things. You know, we learn so much bad stuff about what dads are, but there's a better picture of dads in the Bible. And we want to be that kind of a dad. We want to be the dad that, you know, the Scripture talk about. So let's go ahead and close. And we're going to pray one general prayer. And there's somebody here that needs prayer. Honey, could you bring that up here? There's somebody that needs prayer. Thank God for prayer. Amen? We want to pray for every dad. Father, we thank you this morning for Father's Day, a celebration that the Scripture said we should obey our parents. We honor our dads today. We honor the memory of our fathers. Some of them are gone to heaven already, deceased. Some of them are maybe still here, but we don't have a relationship with. I pray that there'd be such a healing in our relationship with our fathers, And even myself, with my own relationship with my own children, Lord, I pray whatever is hurt and broken, that you're an expert in repairing things. I know that we could never, ever be a perfect person, but we can perfect by the love of God whatever has been been challenging for our lives. Help us to be understanding. Help us have the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts, that we can employ that and apply it to that, because love believes the best of every situation. So we thank you today for dads. We honor every father here. We ask you a special blessing upon every dad. I pray that you'd have the best day ever. Have the best day ever. Have the best day of your life. I pray a mighty blessing upon you. Wherever you go, may you have favor, and may healing be yours. May that heart that has been broken be healed from all the past and all the sorrow and all the memories that you had that's been tough. I pray a flow of healing to that mind of yours and healing to that soul, to stabilize your soul, to stabilize in the Word of God, that you'll be a stable man. Thank you, Lord. We pray for everyone that does not know Jesus Christ. I pray that this be a day that you'd receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. If there's anybody here, a sound of my voice, that you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, this may be the opportunity, the time for you to come to Christ. I pray in the name of Jesus, if you're here today, you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right now. Make this a day, an opportunity for you to come to Jesus. If you're watching online by live stream, make this your day. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. You're the Son of God. I believe you came here to save humanity. You died on that cross and you went to hell for me. You rose the third day. You're sitting at the right hand of the Father, according to Scripture, that you're my intercessor. I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me my sins. And now I'm yours. I will follow you all the days of my life. I will do my best to read the Bible, the Scriptures, and I'll find people, mentors, and people who will teach me the Word of God. And I make that commitment, dedication, sanctify, and consecrate my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made that commitment today, call us, write us, send us a message. We'll send you important information that'll help you develop in your spiritual life. We want to pray for Crystal, who has will be flown to Winnipeg. Somebody that was stabbed, I guess, stabbing incident or injury. So we pray for you, Crystal, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the hand of God to be upon you, to heal you and to deliver you from whatever else is ailing you. We pray for the mighty hand of God to be upon you. And we pray that answer our prayer through helping her with the medicines, applications, and medicines, whatever they'll have to for her, for the doctors to know what to do, help her to heal quickly. And not only help that situation physically at hand, but also help the other situations that are going on in her life. I pray that she'd know the Lord Jesus Christ, and those around her will come to know Jesus. Send forth laborers around her that she might find salvation, deliverance at this time. Speak to her life and speak to the people around her how life is so precious. We give you praise for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Well, have a wonderful Father's Day.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.